Radija Študent.
The Quakes. Pred jutrišnjim nastopom ameriške psychobilly zasedbe The Quakes v ljubljanskem Orto klubu se je s Polom Romanom pogovarjal Terence Štader. Prisluhnite njunemu pogovoru.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing good.
How long has been the tour so far?
Just 2 weeks and two more weeks to go.
Do you like playing in Europe?
Yeah. Yep. Great.
A lot of your career has been tied to Europe, but you are American.
Right.
Just as a European, let me ask you, where do you prefer playing? Which audience do you prefer, American or European?
I don't care where we play, as long as the people like us. Well, it doesn't matter to me.
Fair enough. And do they know better your music now than they used to?
I think it's different. We play some different songs in the U.S. than we play here, you know. Different songs are popular in different places.
Can you give us some examples? For instance, what is most popular in Italy or in Italy in the neighboring countries? Italy, Austria, countries that are neighboring to Slovenia.
I think that people in the U.S. like more of the newer stuff than the older stuff.
You're playing American music. But as far as I understand from band's biography, you had to go out of the U.S. to get across to people with your music, to reach people with music.
Right.
You had to go to Europe.
Yeah.
Why, when you look at retrospect, why is that so? Why was that so?
Because there was no scene in the United States. Nobody knew what that music was. So there was no scene. There was no place for us to play. And all that music was coming from Europe, so it just made sense to go to Europe because that's where all that music was coming from.
Well, you started as a rockabilly band, right?
Yeah.
And rockabilly is the original American music.
Yeah.
So, what went wrong with the American taste in the 80s, in the 90s? You're saying that nobody was playing...
It's come and go, just like now. Psychedelia is totally dead. 2000 to 2010, was the peak year for psychedelia in the United States, and now it's gone. So these things come and go, and they don't come back.
Or it takes a lot of time for the things, for the music to come back.
Right.
How did you, I mean, you were saying, you say that music, that rockabilly was not present in the American environment in at the end of the 80s when you first started. How did you personally get in touch with this music?
From seeing the Stray Cats, Polecats, Rockettes on MTV.
All right. How old were you, just to give us a little bit of perspective of your personal biography, how old were you then? In 86?
Let's see. How old was I? I was 18.
All right. And the first thing, the first contact for you with the Stray Cats was through MTV in 85 or before 83, 84?
Before then. Yeah, I think about 81 or so. 81, 82.
Were you familiar with rockabilly music, with the giants of rock and roll, of the first wave of the rock and roll by then, or were the Stray Cats your first contact with that brand of music?
It wasn't only the Stray Cats, it was the Polecats and the Rockettes also.
All right.
On MTV at that time. So, and I didn't really even know what it was, like rockabilly. I just liked whatever they were doing, I liked it, I didn't have a name for it or anything.
What are your first, what kind of music have you first listened to? What are your earliest musical memories, earliest musical contact?
Just like the Beatles and Rolling Stones and that kind of British Invasion kind of stuff that my older brothers and sisters had.
Can you remember the sensation that the first touch with the rockabilly sound made, provoked within you?
Even before I heard the Stray Cats, there was a band called the King Bees that were very rockabilly. And I had that album in 1980. I was 13 years old, so that would probably be the first contact with a lot of rockabilly. But I didn't know that word, rockabilly.
All right, and how was it for you to find the people to play that? How hard was it for you to find other guys?
Yeah, very difficult. Basically, I had to train the people.
And can you tell us a little bit more about the training process? Did it go easily?
No, because we were all just amateur musicians and none of us had any lessons. So we just kind of learned as we went along,
What would you say about the appeal of rockabilly music? There is this kind of timeless appeal. Where does it come from? Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. To me, it's just the sound. It's not really a time period. It's not about hair or clothes or the way that the music sounds. That's what it is.
Let's talk about the Quakes now. The lineup of the band. How long have you been playing together? And who else is coming to Ljubljana on the 28th of October to play some rockabilly and psychobilly, to play some good old rock and roll?
These couple guys have been in the band for about 4 years now. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the second part of your question.
Yeah. Well, can you present the members of the band? Who are they? And
sure, Juan Carlos on drums and Wes Hinshaw on bass.
Do they have some musical history, band history before joining the Quakes? How did you get together? And
Juan has a band called The Limit Club, and Wes is in a band called Hoot and Swing. They were playing music before they hooked up with me, sure.
Do you I was talking a lot about rockabilly. I haven't been using a lot of psychobilly term. How do you consider? What do you consider in terms of style? How do you consider your band? Are you? Would you define yourself at all, or would you define the music as rockabilly or as psychobilly? What would you say?
Well, we're really in between, and we play both. I mean, obviously the first album and that period was very psychobilly, but we've kind of been in between. You know, we kind of play both. And during our set, we play songs from all the records.
All right. What is pushing you guys forward? You've been on the scene for almost 30 years.
Yeah, nothing really. It's just a hobby.
Is it a hobby or is it a job?
No, it's definitely a hobby. We all have jobs.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Looking forward.
It's an expensive hobby.
Expensive hobby.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, can you explain that? Because people usually think that bands who are touring and playing abroad and then having tours and are known, are making money, and you are saying, you are telling us that it's a hobby and it is an expensive hobby. I mean, what do you mean by that?
Well, because you have to pay for the plane tickets, the tour van, the tour driver, the gasoline, the back line, everything you have to pay for. So, well, if we can make that money back, that would be great, but, you know, you're never sure.
I understand what you want to tell us, what you're saying, guys. You're saying that the good rock and roll is never cheap.
Yeah.
Paul, thank you very much for talking to us. We're looking forward to see you on stage in Ljubljana, and rock on.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye, thank you.
V današnjem RŠ intervjuju smo poslušali pogovor s Polom Romanom. Z njim se je pogovarjal Terence Štader.
All right. Intervju Radija Študent.